is, I think what the Lord wants to do tonight is after a while in the service here, we are going to give anointing cloths out to anybody that wants them for themselves or for anybody else. Amen? But first, we're gonna get into the Word for just a moment. I've started a series last week entitled Your Best Year This Year, 2025. Your Best Year This Year. And if you would go with me to 1 Peter and chapter 3. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 10. In fact, I'm going to start, if it's all right, fellas in the sound booth, at verse 9. And I'm looking at some directives in the Word. See if we have the best year. If we purpose in our heart, that's what we want to do. If we make a decision that this year I want this to be the best year ever in my life, we're going to do something with the Word of God. And we're going to be blessed. And we're going to, you have to make that decision if you want that. I believe it's there for us this year. I believe we can have the best year that we've ever had, Josh. I believe that. Now it says here in verse 9 in the New Living Translation, don't repay evil for evil. And that's one thing. That seems like a pretty simple thing and basic, but I see that. I've seen it for all my years in the church. I don't really consider as much what I see in the world, but I do consider what I see in the church to try to understand how I can be a better church person. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Now, this stuff, when you really get into the Word of God, it is easier said than done. It's easier to say this. It's easier to preach this than it is to live this. But this is the requisite for greatness with God and in the family of God. That is what God called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. For the scripture says, and this is my main scripture for this series, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil, verse 11, and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those that are doing right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. That means he's not open to our prayer, even if we're his children. God has obligated himself to be a father to us. And what father does not correct his children? And nobody's better at it. Nobody's kinder at it. Nobody's more deliberate at correction than the Creator God Father. So that is my thought of, that's what it's going to take. That's my verse that says, hey, if you want the best year ever, this is what you have to do. See, we talk about, many times here, we talk about what you have to say, how to pray the healing verses, how to pray the saving verses, how to pray the forgiving. But the Word also says, and we'll see here in just a moment, in fact, if you would turn with me to James chapter 1 and verse 22 in the King James language now. And I'm going to read that one verse. And this is another key verse for what we're trying to say here. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says this. But, everybody say but. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. There's three parts to this verse. And if you grasp and get each part and begin to do this, you're working out greatness in your salvation package. First of all, be you doers of the word also. And not hearers only. You know, the ministry has been reduced to, if we could just get people to come to church, it would be great. But I say this regularly, God is not looking for church attenders as much as he's looking for children, for disciples of his program. That's what in other words, it's not enough to go to church. If you're a believer, you should be in church, but it's not enough. You have to take that and cultivate the truth of being a church attender. For what purpose? Well, to hear the word, hear it preached in an anointed way, and do the word. Be a doer of the word of God. So think about that. Once again, I found it much easier in my early days to hear the word, and I would let the word bounce off of me like the parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow, and some fell on thorny ground, and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word. Some fell on stony ground, and it came up for a moment, but then when heat came and persecution, it fell over and it died. Some of the word that was sown fell along the wayside. That's when you can leave a church service, and by the time you're saying a blessing over your Sunday meal, you forgot what was said. It fell by the wayside. It didn't mean anything. It didn't get in. And for many years of my life as a new believer, these three things happened to me. And there came a point where God said, you know, it's enough. It's not time for you to be a baby anymore. We're going to grow you up. And the word says explicitly, those that I love, I correct. And he does. And he will. And it's a sign of love. And the word teaches us, and what we have as society says, don't correct your children. Don't even look at them the wrong way. Well, that's not going to help your children. Your children will not grow up and just be great. They'll be what you make them. And we have to, part of that is correction. What kind of correction? Well, I'll leave that to you. Whatever works with your child for you, find out, pray, ask God. Whatever works is the best thing. That's what I would say. So be ye a doer of the word of God. I believe that people have to get to the point where they absorb the truth of the word of God. You have to absorb it. You have to, as God says to us, come, let us reason together. I ain't looking for people. This isn't like listening to a top 10 tune and just listen to it and say, boy, what, that was a great sermon. You know, if it was a great sermon, y'all be doing it. I'd be doing it. And there came a time in my life when I began and I purposed in my heart I needed to take my walk with Jesus to the next level. And the next level was to get real, just to be real and get real. And I'll tell you, James 1:22 will help you to do that. This is easier to preach than to live. This is easier to hear than to live it. And you know what? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way that leads to destruction. And that's where most people are. Many even in the church. You know, some people just love to go to church. Church is great. I love church. Man, I can't wait till church. We missed some days. We had to due to weather and sickness and other things. But boy, I have missed church. Somebody said to me, I think it was over there, Becky said to me, Brother, Pastor, I missed being here. I didn't realize you'd been gone that long. I don't remember things as well. But I really want to give you something. I've got a few more minutes to do it. I'm taking you to a place, I'm taking you to a place of reconciliation. In my final place that I'm going to read tonight is in James chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, where the word says this: Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. I think the true test of a church is if people are praying there, if things ain't happening, let's just be honest, something's wrong. Amen. I mean, if this is not an exercise I guess it is to many, but what I mean is we should be getting something out of this. And so if they've committed any sins, this is a communion service. The communion verses in 1 Corinthians 11, I believe, they say, for this cause, many of you are sick, you're unsuccessful, many of you die before your time because we're taking communion in an unworthy manner. We're taking it all, isn't this nice? You know, I wonder, and yeah, it's nice. I think it's nice, but I think we would do good on earth if we would really be thinking, where are we in the Lord? And my key verse tonight is verse 16. And verse 16 says this: Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another so that you may be healed. Confess your faults one to another. Last week, we were here on Wednesday. Somebody that I love very much. It sounded to me like this person was going to try to take over. I didn't hear what she was saying. She knew what she was saying. And all she was trying to say to me was, could you speak a little louder? And I thought she was going to try to say all the things that she told me before the service started, and I thought to myself, oh gosh, I hope we don't. If we have to bring that up, that'll be the whole few minutes that we have together. And I made an awful mistake, and I made it right here in front of the people that I love the most, and I was wrong. I didn't do it on purpose, but I did it anyway, and people were uncomfortable in here when I made that mistake. I called and talked with some of you, and you were uncomfortable. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I made a mistake. I didn't do it on purpose, but don't let me try to fool you. There's some stuff I just outright do, and it's just outright sin, and it's wrong. I'm still dealing with who I am, with Angelo, see. And I need your prayers, and I confess my faults to you. Because I have found it is in the top five of the most likely things you'll never hear in a church is anybody saying that they've made a mistake. Boy, would you get me a chair? I'd like to sit down and reason with you for a few minutes. Then we'll we're going to give out anointing cloths if anybody wants them. Then there's some goodies in there, and then we're going to go home. We're going to try to do this all within the next 25 minutes. And boy, I'll tell you what. I don't know. I wonder whose water this is, Kel. Thank you, son. Would you just put that up there for me? How important is this verse, confess your faults one to another? Let me tell you something. If people would say, it's the least thing I've heard as a marriage counselor, as a recovery counselor, or anything. I met somebody that I had not seen in years that was in our recovery meeting at the Mark Bain Center. He said, Brother Angelo, what you taught me was this. If you pick yourself up one more time than you fall down, you win. And I believe that. And that touched my heart. He remembered that. I asked God to give me key verses that people would remember. How about this one? So how many of you can finish this one? The truth will outlive a lie. I didn't get that from Kenneth Copeland. I listened to plenty of, I loved Kenneth Copeland. But I got that from our daddy God. And I believe that. The truth will outlive a lie. Now, where does this come in handy? You know what? You know how many times people, they get in a, somehow you're close to people, and that's the people you can really end up being at odds with. You can hurt them. And I'll tell you where it hurts the most. Is in your marriage. It's in your marriage. It's in your marriage. Listen to me. I'm talking to you and everybody in here. I'm talking truth, and I just ain't afraid. I'm just too stupid to be afraid to do it. Many years ago, before I had children, the Lord said, Angelo, you're my little jackass. You're the donkey in the 22nd chapter of the book of Numbers that I made to speak and talk to man. And he says, when you speak, you're going to know that ain't you. You're going to know that I put that in you. And you have what I need. You're not afraid to say anything. And may I say, I'm just not. And I don't say that. That becomes a big problem at times too. But I've seen that in marriages. I've seen friendships break up. One of the most dangerous things a police person can do is get in a domestic dispute between people. Many of them are shot and killed every year in America. But I'll tell you, one of the reasons that I have not seen many people confess their faults when they do wrong is because it's very unpleasant to do that. It's very unpleasant to do. And for many years, I wouldn't do it. I just would say, well, they understand. You know, they'll know. I'm not going to. See, and we leave one thing after another not right. We build up all these things that are not right. They're just not right. We didn't make it right. You know, the title of this message is, would you consider making it right? If you do, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to be able to do what I'm doing right. I just ain't going to my, and you know what? I'm going to tell you, my wife, there's been more times when I have not told her, look, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have. But you know what I've learned? If I want to go to the next level, I don't need to read more or get a different suit. What I need to do is be real with God. In Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, can I get an amen? Amen. You won't hear this very often, but you're hearing it tonight. And you know what? This isn't here to hurt you. This is to help you. And I promise you, if you get this principle in your life, you know, while you're sitting there, I would not doubt people are looking and thinking, there's people I could go tell, man, I made a mistake. I was wrong. You know how, I tell you what, it's very unpleasant and hard to do. But you know what? Along with it being hard to do is this. If you make yourself make things right, you know what that'll do? You'd be thinking before you open this here, before you hurt somebody, before you do something wrong. It's not pleasant. It's not meant to be present. But you know what? We can take an eraser, or you can tear that page out of your Bible in James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, confess your faults. You can do that if you want. All you're doing is erasing some of your blessings, many of them. And what you're doing is inviting, God has no other choice but to order up days in your life, days of correction. And people go on and they keep doing the same things. I see it in marriages. I see it on teams of basketball, baseball, anything. I see it in the world, people on the job, and people that love one another at a time won't even speak to one another. Beloved, these things ought not to be in the house of God, in the church of God, in the family of God. But you know what? To get the better thing, we have to be able to make it right. And sometime to get right, you got to confess you was wrong. Now, I was wrong, and I've been wrong with many things, and I didn't do it by accident. I was just wrong. I was just in the wrong spirit. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're in that you can do those kind of things. And I wanted to give you something tonight that I believe is important that we haven't heard a lot. Let me say, in here, and I say this regularly, Sam said it Sunday night, if I've hurt you, if you'll come to me and tell me, say, I might not know, I promise you, I'll make it right. I'll do everything I can to make it right with you. And bless God, if every church in America would just practice this truth in their marriage alone, just in their marriage. See, when the church is getting divorced just as much as the unchurched are, something ain't right. The gospel is more powerful than that. I'm going to tell you, on the great white throne judgment, when Jesus says, come up here, Angelo. And he says to me, do you have anything you want to say? I'm going to say, God, yes, I do. The best thing you ever gave me was Millie, my wife. I tell you, if I was with a person like me, or most of the women I've ever dated, or I've been married 37 times right now, but I was married to a person that is deeply inside of her is a person that can hold her tongue, hold her peace, and forgive. Forgive. If you knew everything that I did, well, it wouldn't be good for you. You guys might want to stone me. Just in my marriage. Okay, let's be real. I'm taking a chance tonight that somebody can get a hold of this and say, you know, he's right. I'm not looking for your hands to go up. I'm not looking for anything. But you know the one who sent me here tonight to say these things to you? He's looking for a change in your life. And it'll start tonight when you get on your knees and make an altar and take Holy Communion with God. We can say we're taking it with one another. We're really taking it with God. And I want to say to you, think about the friendships. I have friendships that I don't have anymore because me and that friend, we couldn't see eye to eye. We let the devil get the best of us, see. Nobody was willing to say, I was wrong. Would you forgive me? In 23, I was over by my house by the boat launch, and somebody that used to come to church here met them in a weird way, a divine appointment out there. Their boat had broke down, so on and so forth, and they just happened to come. They were way off, about 10, 15 miles away, but their boat ended up at Six Mile Recreation Area. And when I realized who it was, the Lord said, now, Angelo, I want you to ask this person if you've hurt them. And I asked them, I knew what they were going to say. They said yes, and I said, well, tell me what I did. And they told me some things that I did, and some of them I was sure of, Some of them I wasn't so sure that I did, but I'll tell you what. You know, I'm not trying to, now, I know this sounds awful, but this is the life I want to live. I don't want to be sick just because you're sick. I don't want to be broke just because everybody else is broke. I don't want to be unlucky because of you. You know what I want? I want an extra better life. You know what I found I need to do that? I have to do more. I have to do more than what everybody else will do. It's more, believe me, church, it's more than just coming and sitting in the house of God. That's the beginning. We've got to have a beginning to have a middle to have an ending, okay? But the number one thing that I started to grasp, and I listened to this person. They were very hurt. They were very hurt. And you know what I said to them? I waited till they were completely done talking. And I said, you know, I did all of that, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I did wrong. I didn't do right. And then I asked them the question that your salvation hinges on in a two-way street. I asked them, would you forgive me? And they broke. And they wept, and they wept, and they wept. And I grabbed this person and held them. And when that part was over, she said, now, Pastor, I know I wasn't easy to get along with. Will you tell me the things that I did? And I'm going to tell you something, and I'll teach you this too. I said, I can't think of one thing. Do you have any idea the blessing when you let somebody go free? Do you have any idea when you forgive somebody? You guys are getting too emotional. I'm going to close this up. I hope I can get down here. Dwayne, if I fall, will you pick me up? No, I'm just, come on, help me. I'll tell you what. See this guy right here? Look at me, son. Stand right here. Look at me in the eye. If you listen, you're going to become a mighty man of God. Amen. The things that you see me do, you're going to do. And greater things than these, as Jesus said. Amen. I'm telling you. But you know what? You can't just be a regular guy.
I'm not.
No, that's right. Amen.
Amen. I ain't a regular guy.
You know what? How about the rest of you? You don't even have to answer me. You can't be regular and get what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you. Stretch your hands toward this young man, everybody. Put your hands up, Dwayne. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this young man. What a blessing he is. Lord, I thank you that we have somebody in this ministry to build into a mighty man of God. Thank you, Lord. And just bless him with favor and help him, Lord, to get these hard things and to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. And everybody said amen. We're going to look at that verse one more time. We're going to look at James chapter 5 and verse 16. Can you put that up there by itself where I can see it real good? James 5, 16 by itself. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Okay. Where did I lose that at? Yes, confess your faults one to another. Confess your faults one to another. No, it was James 1:22. Could you give me James 1:22 again, please, fellas? I want you to see this verse one more time. And I want you to understand, it wasn't in there to make that chapter longer. It says, be ye doers of the word. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't enough to just be a hearer. If we ain't doing it, we're going to have to give an account for that. And you know what? If God really loves you, He's going to get you this side of death because he doesn't want to lose you. That's just the truth. Y'all, listen to me. Be a doer of the word. Whatever relationship you're in now, it'll last longer. Whatever friendship you're in now, whatever church you're in now, see, you know how many misunderstandings there are? You know what it says of Jesus in the word? That if they wrote down everything that he did, there wouldn't be enough books. Well, I'll tell you what there's not enough books for also is all the mistakes and the the hard feelings and things left undone. You know, when you leave something like this undone, and then you leave another thing like this undone, and another thing, what happens is you develop a habit. Well, they'll understand. And you, all of a sudden, you ain't taking care of nothing. And your life ain't nothing. It's just like everybody else. When everybody gets sick, you get sick. When people die, you die. When people are broke, you're broke. I'm telling you, there's another life. And I'm telling you because I've seen it. I have it in my life. But this is something that I do all the time. See, what I'm doing here tonight, I do it all the time. I knew before I left the service last Wednesday, I needed to do this. I needed to make this right. That was wrong. Now, I honestly didn't do it on purpose because I love that person so much. But I made a mistake, and I ask you to forgive me. Now, I will ask this here with a show of hands. How many of you, whether you are here or not, you'll forgive me? Put your hand up. Look, can I tell you something? That's why I like preaching at this church. Now, we're going to take communion. And Josh and Dwayne, would you help me again this? Okay, what I want you to do first, would you please make an altar somewhere? Let's do it like the Bible said.